There's an old chorus that goes, "Heaven is a wonderful place, full of God's glory and grace. I'm going to see my Saviour's face. Heaven is a wonderful place." And that's what I want to speak about this morning. I want to speak about the subject of heaven. I wonder if you've thought about heaven lately. What is heaven? Where is heaven? Well, now the Oxford English Dictionary gives us two definitions of heaven. The first one is that heaven is the region of the atmosphere where clouds float, winds blow, birds fly, and we can add aeroplanes fly. Now, that's quite right. But the second definition in the dictionary is that heaven is the habitation of God and his angels, and it is also a state of supreme bliss. Now, the Bible actually tells us that there are three heavens. Now, I wonder if you realise that. And we find this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2. I'm going to turn up quite a few scriptures, so you probably won't be able to keep up with me. But anyway, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2, we read this. This is the Apostle Paul. "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter." So here we have Paul talking about maybe himself, or maybe we don't know, or maybe somebody else who was caught up to heaven, who had a vision of heaven, was caught up to the third heaven. Now, William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army, had a similar experience. And I read about that in a book about the life of William Booth. He had an extraordinary vision and was taken up to heaven. And for that, one of the main reasons he founded the Salvation Army, because he didn't want people to go to hell. He wanted them to go to heaven, and so he founded the army. Now, right in the, of course, start of the Bible, we read, "In the beginnings, God created the heavens," in the plural, "and the earth." God is the great creator God who has created the heavens and the earth. Now, in Psalm 19 and verse 1, we read this: "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." How true that is. If you get a nice clear night without any light pollution, and you look up in the night sky, indeed, the heavens do declare the glory of God. Earlier this year, there was quite a bit about this in the media. There was what was called the planetary lineup. I don't know if any of you saw this. I sat in my back garden in February in the dark and had a look at this. You had Jupiter, then you had, I think it was Venus, then you had Jupiter, and then you had Mars, all in a straight line. And if you could get away from all the light pollution, you could see quite a few stars as well. Unfortunately, there's so much light pollution these days, you have to go to what is called a dark sky site, one of which isn't far from here, Burling Gap, where you can go and get away from all the light pollution and get an amazing view on a clear night of the Milky Way and so on, and see hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of stars in the sky, because the heavens declare the glory of God. And even on a nice day like this, in a sense, when you see the blue sky and the sun is shining down upon us that God has created, indeed the heavens declare the glory of God. And the Psalms have quite a bit to say also concerning heaven. Psalm 102 and verse 25, we read, "Of old you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens," notice it's plural, "and the heavens are the work of your hands." Yeah, it's all of God's creation, the heavens that we can see around us. And in Psalm 103, we read there's a comparison between God's mercy and the heavens. Psalm 103 and verse 11. "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us." So as the heavens are high and they are vast and they are mighty, so great is God's mercy towards those who trust in him and believe in him, and he has washed away our sins through the shed blood of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So the heavens indeed belong to God. But there's another interesting verse in Psalm 115 and verse 16. Psalm 115 and verse 16. "The heavens," again plural, "the heavens, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men." He's given us the earth, and we are to look after it, and we are to care for it. Now, we hear a lot today about green issues, about environmental issues, and that's good, and it's right. We hear so much, don't we, all the horrible stuff that's been poured into the sea, poured into our rivers, and so on, and that's bad. That's really, really bad. But God has given the earth to man. But you see, we've ruined the earth, haven't we? Due to the coming into the world of sin, man has spoiled this earth, polluted this earth in so many ways. But our God is a gracious God, and he is a merciful God. And in Isaiah chapter 40, let's see what that says, verse 26. "Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number, calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one of them is missing." And so we, as I say, we can see on a good night the glory of God in the heavens itself. But what about our Lord Jesus Christ? We read in Hebrews chapter 4, and let me draw your attention to verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 4. Our Lord Jesus Christ died and rose again, and we're now in between his resurrection and ascension. Ascension Day is May the 29th this year, rather later than usual. But in Hebrews 4:14, we read this: "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens," plural, "Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession." And so Jesus passed through the heavens, the first one, the second one, and he's gone to the third heaven where God dwells, where God's headquarters are, if you like. And so the Lord Jesus has passed through the heavens. And we have today a high priest who is there interceding for us. We can come to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." And Jesus is the only way of salvation There's no other way. And if that makes us an extremist, so be it. If it makes us unpopular, so be it. But Jesus is the only way to God. And then in verse 16, we are exhorted to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So God, Jesus, is now in heaven at the right hand of the Father until the day when he comes again, when he will descend from heaven. Now in Acts chapter 1, we have the account, of course, of the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. When they had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." So Jesus is coming again, and he's coming from heaven where he ascended to. This is the great hope, isn't it, of the Christian church, that Jesus one day, we don't know when, but we believe it could be soon, one day he's coming again. Now we're told in the Old Testament that God hears us from heaven. And a well-known passage is in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, which says, well actually, you ought to go to verse 13 first of all, that says, "When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people," and I'm wondering whether God is shutting up the heavens at the moment. We've had no rain for weeks, and they're talking of drought and the possibility of water problems later in the year if we don't get some rain. Well, maybe we will. But sometimes perhaps God shuts up heaven and stops the rain from falling in his judgments. But he goes on to say this, and it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If," and that word "if" is very, very important, "if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." God will hear from heaven. And as I've already said, in 1942 and later on, as all these days of prayer commenced, God did hear from heaven and did deliver this country from an appalling, awful tyranny. God's throne, God's headquarters, if you like, is in heaven. And we're told this in Isaiah chapter 66. And verse 1. "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool." Now the whole concept of heaven raises a very fundamental question. Is there life after death? Or is death just the end? Now the humanist will tell you that death is the end, that's it, you're dead, that's it, and that's the end of it. But for the believer, for the Christian, death is not the end. Now, I have, in my time, had to go to a couple of humanist funerals. Now, my next door neighbour, where I live in Horsham, her name's Anita, and she's a humanist. And she's what's called a humanist celebrant, and she takes humanist funerals. I get on very well with her. We have quite long conversations. But over the garden fence. Humanist funerals are terrible. They're terrible. There's no hope there whatsoever. There's just nothing. But to go to a Christian funeral, What a difference it is. There's hope. The gospel is preached. The message of eternal life, that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Oh, my friend, what a difference there is. Jesus said, he that believes on the Son has everlasting life. So this is your great hope, my great hope, that when our time on this earth comes to an end, when the Lord calls us home, we will go home to be with him in heaven. Now, the Apostle Paul was a tent maker. He knew all about tents. I know nothing about tents. I wouldn't even have a clue how to put one up. The Apostle Paul knew all about tents. And we read about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let me just read a few verses here from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So we have an eternal home in heaven. It's not temporary, it's eternal. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Now, when I was a boy, my dad sent me to scout camp. I didn't really want to go, but he sent me to join the scouts. I think he thought it would toughen me up a bit. I don't know whether it did. But anyway, I was sent to scout camp. I didn't like it. I didn't want to sleep in a tent. It was cold. It was damp. When it rained, the water came in, you know, and your sleeping bag got all wet and everything. Your clothes got wet. No, it was horrible. I didn't want to be in a tent. I wanted to be in a nice, strong building. Where it would be nice and dry. So I guess it's like that for us sometimes, you know, the problems of life, it may be illness, all sorts of things can come along, and there are problems, and perhaps sometimes we think, oh, I wish I was in that heavenly home. We had a dear old saint in our church who passed away a couple of weeks ago, and when she was visited, she always said, oh, I want to go to be home with the Lord. So heaven is a real place, and there is everlasting life for those who will trust in him. And then just finally, of course, one day there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And we read this in Revelation chapter 21. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. You see, in heaven, there's going to be no sorrow. There's going to be no crying. There's going to be no pain. All that's gone when we get to heaven. What a wonderful place that will be. But are you going there? Are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ? Will heaven be your final destination when the Lord calls you home? But in the meantime, of course, enjoy life. Get as much as you can out of it. Continue to serve the Lord and do all you can to spread his glorious, wonderful gospel to those all around us. Well, may God bless these few thoughts to us this morning. Heaven is a wonderful place, full of God's glory and grace. I am going to see my Saviour's face. Heaven is a wonderful place. Amen.